brought to you by the donations of our faithful partners.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome back to Wisdom and Torah Ministries. My name is Rico Cortez, and we are continuing our teaching on the covenant of the pieces of Genesis 15. Now, before that, I'd like to read you a prayer that is found in the Siddur, because I'm trying to talk to you about covenant and the way the prayers have been formed in the Siddur is basically appealing to Yahweh, to the Creator, as the Father of mercy, as the Father of covenants. Now, the Tachnun, which is prayed after the Shmoneh Esrei, the morning prayers, you know, is composed of verses put together as a prayer of commitment, as a prayer of forgiveness, as a prayer of asking Him to listen. What was interesting, I'm not going to read you the whole thing, but there's basically a series of prayers that I'm only going to read you the sequence of the first sentence. Listen to the sequence of the first sentence. It says, He, the Merciful One, is forgiven of iniquity and does not destroy, frequently withdrawing His anger, not arousing His entire rage, which is Psalm 78:38. And then he continues and says, Incline your ear, my Adonai, and listen. Open your eyes and see our desolation, and that the city that is upon you, which is your name, is proclaimed. Now, so he's talking now, asking to save Jerusalem. And then he says, Look, we beg you, have mercy on your people speedily for your name's sake. You see, for your name's sake. Why? Because in the ancient covenants, when you walk through the pieces, you have to exchange names. And that's why he showed himself to Moses as, I am that I am, because I'm the one who made the covenant. See, my people, I remember the covenant. That's what happened in Egypt. They call upon the name of Yahweh, and he remembered the covenant of the pieces, okay? And the next part says, Please, O gracious and compassionate King, remember and look to the covenant between the parts. Let me read you that one. It says, Please remember the covenant between the parts. May there appear before you the binding of the only Son for Israel's sake. Listen to this prayer. This is in a traditional Siddur, okay? When they're praying after the morning benedictions, they're saying, Please, O gracious and compassionate King, remember and look to the covenant between the parts. May there appear before you the binding of the only Son. Now, okay, you got to listen about this. He says, For Israel's sake. I don't know about you, but it's talking about what the Messiah did for us. Because if he walked through the pieces, and then in chapter 22 of Genesis, Abraham took Isaac to the altar. The binding of the only Son, the combining both of them, says, Our Father, our King, be gracious with us and answer us, for your great name has been proclaimed upon us. O Maker of miracles at all time, treat us according to your kindness, gracious and compassionate one. Look and answer us in time of distress, for yours, Yahweh, is thy salvation. Our Father, our King, our Protector. Remember the language? Our Protector. Do not treat us according to the evil of our deeds. Recall your mercies, Yahweh, and your kindness. According to the abundant goodness, save us and have pity on us. We beg you, we have no gods other than you, our rock. Do not forsake us, Yahweh Elohim. Be not distant from us, for our souls is diminished by sword and captivity, pestilence and plagues, and every distress and woe. Rescue us from we hope to you. Do not humiliate us, Yahweh Elohim. Illuminate your countenance within us, and record for us the covenant of our forefathers. And save us from your name's sake. Observe our troubles, and hear the voice of our prayer, for you hear the prayers of our mouth. Why does he hear the prayers of our mouth? Because he made the covenant of the pieces, and he did it for his own great namesake. And that is basically verses, Psalms 38:22, and it's all composed of verses. Very interesting prayer that they do every day. Jews pray three times a day that way. When was the last time we prayed for Judah, and when was the last time we were calling upon the remember the covenant of the pieces? And they're actually calling for the name of Messiah, the binding of the Son. Well, that already happened, but they're still calling for it. How come we have Messiah who did that work for us, but we don't know how to show that to them? Because we do not see Scripture from a Hebraic perspective. We see it from a Greco-Roman mindset. And that's why we have a lot of gaps in our theology. Let's continue now on one of the steps of the ancient Hebrew covenant. That actually would be number 8, eating the memorial meal. And in Genesis 14:18 says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High Elohim. Now, when you eat bread and wine, that's how you make ancient covenants. Okay, that's how you ratify. You have a meal together. Now, we see this in the time of Yeshua, that Matthew 26 tells us that, and they were eating, Yeshua took the bread and blessed it and break it and gave it to the disciples. There were 12 disciples there. There were 12 tribes of Israel. He's making a covenant with the 12 tribes of Israel and said, take, eat. This is my blood. Okay? And it says, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave them, saying, drink ye all of it. And then it says, for this is the blood of the renewed covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink of this, henceforth of this fruit of the vine, until the day when I will drink it anew with you in the Father's kingdom. Now, so you see, you have the bread and you have the blood. That's one of the most important components of part of the ancient Hebrew covenants. Okay, so Passover, in fact, when you eat of the Passover, you are actually coming into a marriage covenant. You're coming into a covenant of marriage. So if you are going to a church, and I'm glad that you're inviting us to show you the elements of the Passover, but please remember, if you would invite me, I will never let you partake of the meal unless you're following the Torah. Let me tell you why. I will show you the principles, and I'll show you everything in the Messiah in the Passover, but when you eat of the meal, you are coming into a covenant. That's why the Torah says that no uncircumcised in the heart and the flesh should come and partake of the Passover. You know? No, you shouldn't come do that. Why? Because you're not in covenant. If you're not a believer in Yeshua, I'm not going to invite you to partake of the Passover. Why? Because we are entering into a Passover, into a covenant. So if you go in there, you enter a covenant, and then you celebrate Easter, you are breaking the covenant you just came into. So I said, I know better, so I'm not going to do that to you. Now, you might think that's an extreme, so be it. But go back and research it. You know, because Ezekiel says that if you go in the wrong direction and I don't blow the shofar, then I'm accountable for that. And I can't do that to you. But I will teach you, I will go to your congregation, and I will share the elements of the Passover and how the Messiah is in it. But when you start inviting people to partake of the Passover, and then you go back and you celebrate Easter a week later, you're in trouble. You know, if you go back and celebrate the sunrise service, which comes from Mithraism, you're in trouble. Okay? And we don't want to do that to each other. Let's continue. I hope you appreciate the honesty, okay? Listen, some of you don't like to hear this stuff. Some of you just get upset at me because I'm telling you basically what historically has been proven. You know, historically it's been proven that Easter is a pagan holiday, that Christmas is a pagan holiday, that Sunday was instituted by the Catholic Church. You know, you can go on the internet and find out. Go research it out. You know, and you find out that this is true. So we need to learn to separate the holy and the profane. As for me and my house, we will worship Yahweh, we will follow His commandments, and we will keep the covenant. Anybody else, I can't force you. I'm only sharing information so we can grow together, so we can learn together in the steps of how to follow Messiah in holiness and in His prescribed way. Amen? Without judging anybody. I'm not trying to judge you. I'm just trying to let you know what the truth is, and the Spirit of Yahweh bear witness to you what is truth or not. All right, let's move on. In Mark chapter 14, verse 24, let's talk about the word new. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the new covenant. Well, the word there new is kainos. And the word kainos does not mean new. It means renew. There are two Greek words, neos and kainos. And kainos means refresh. Well, neos is new as an age. Now, let's talk about the last part. And here we're going to stay for a little while. The remaining of the time, we're going to talk about this one part. Because the last part of the ancient Hebrew covenant is the planting of the tree. So let me review real quick. First, you take off your robe and your coat. Okay, your whole being becomes part of that being. Second, you take off your belt, which has your money and your belt, and has your sword. And in some instances, you have the shield, and you give the shield your protection. The sword, you defend them. The money, if you have a need. Then you cut the covenant. You have to have an incision to mix the blood, become blood covenant. Then you raise the right arm to come into an oath, saying that we will be covenant partners and we will come together. And if anybody breaks the covenant, may what happens to those animals happen to you. Then you exchange names. You're a new creature. You take my name. So we're taking the name of the Messiah, of the King of Israel. That's our name. We're no longer Gentiles. We're Israel. We are his people. Then he makes a scar. The scar, so there will always be a remembrance that you belong to that covenant, that you are covenant with that person. In other words, if I will raise my arm now, you know, I don't have a scar, but if I will have a scar that I came in covenant with Yahweh, they, when I raise my arm, the whole world will know that I'm in covenant with Yahweh, and they will run away because the creator of the universe is our covenant maker. That's why Israel, no matter how many wars they get into, they always win. Or if they don't win, they don't have that much casualties. Why? Because they call upon the name of Yahweh. And you would always see a remnant of soldiers praying next to tanks, calling upon the name of the Lord. And now, remember that prayer that I just showed you in this book? This is what they would pray if they're in the middle of a war. If they're in the middle of the war and there's tanks blaring and there's bombs going and they're doing bullets and some of them are praying, this is what they're praying. They're calling upon Yahweh to remember the covenant of the pieces to be their shield and their helper. Then you have the terms of the covenant. I will do this for you, you will do this for me. The Torah is the terms of that covenant. Okay? The one in Genesis 15 is an unconditional because the word of the Lord will pass through the pieces. But the one in Mount Sinai is conditional. You have to obey. If you do not obey, then you are what? You're cut off. You'll be cursed. Then you eat a memorial meal to ratify, to celebrate the fact that you had a covenant. Yeshua did it with the disciples. And now you plant a tree. Now this is extremely important because now we know that Paul talks about Israel as a tree, the olive tree. The church teaches that the tree is Jesus, that's what they say, and the branches are just the Gentiles. Now, that's not what Scripture says. And Jeremiah chapter 11 tells you this. Verse 16, and Yahweh called your name, he's talking about Israel, called your name a green olive tree, fair of a goodly fruit, with the noise of a great tumult, he has kindled fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken. So the tree is Israel. And the next verse says, for Yahweh of hosts that planted you has pronounced evil against you for the evil of the house of Israel and the house of Judah. So therefore, the tree is Israel. And the two houses, the divided kingdom after Solomon died, they're the ones who is the tree. It's not the church. If the church sees themselves grafted into Israel, then they are Israel. But you can have it both ways. You can have two separate entities. Because Yahweh already said that I made my covenant with Israel forever. With the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their seed forever. He can never break that. If he breaks that, then he's breaking covenant, and may it happen to the animals, may it happen to him. Okay, but because Abraham was sleeping, and Abraham did not walk through the pieces, when the descendants of Abraham broke the covenant, Yeshua, the word of Yahweh, the Memra, walked and took the penalty of death, and gave himself up. Why? Because that was the penalty of breaking the ancient covenant. That if somebody breaks the covenant, he will take responsibility for. But because the person who broke the covenant did not walk through the pieces, in this case being Abram, then is Messiah, the word of Yahweh, who had to stand in the gap. And that's why Ephesians speaks about that. That Yeshua died for the congregation. Why? Because he was the covenant maker. Amen? I hope this is making sense to you. So here we have that the house of Israel and the house of Judah is the olive tree, the branches. Israel is the olive tree. The branches is the house of Israel, house of Judah. And they have done wicked things. In other words, they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger in offering incense unto Baal. The Hebrew word for Baal can mean husband. So let's break that down for a minute. Incense in the Bible typifies prayer. So they say, which they have done against themselves to provoke Yahweh to anger in praying or talking to another husband. So, if you're celebrating Easter, Christmas, and Sunday as the days that are holy, that are not holy, then in fact, without you knowing, unknowingly, please verify it, go look it up. Remember, Israel got thrown out of the land for planting trees on the altar in the temple until then, and they got thrown out of the land because they were worshiping Ashtoreth, which is Easter. So if that happened to Israel, covenant people, and you accepted Yeshua as your personal Savior, and you came into a covenant with him, then if you're doing the same thing, you're breaking covenant, and the consequences are very, very serious. Let's move on. Psalms 52. Let me make a connection between men being considered a tree. Psalms 52, verse 8 and 9 says this, "But I am a green tree." Sorry, "but I am a green olive tree in the house of Elohim. I trust in the mercy of Elohim forever and ever. I will praise you forever because thou hast done it. And I will wait on your name, for it is good before your saints." So see, here David saw himself as an olive tree. Let's go to another verse. Hosea chapter 14. Remember who the audience is in the book of Hosea. The audience in the book of Hosea are the 10 tribes of Israel, not the Gentiles. Yahweh asked Hosea to marry a prostitute, Gomer, to have children of prostitution. Why? To show Israel the condition of spiritually. Hosea, the root word shua, shea, which means salvation. So there you have Hosea is the type and shadow of the covenant maker, and the Gomer is the type and shadow of the spiritual condition of Israel. They are as in idolatry, and the children of prostitution. So here you see this, the promise of restoration to the 10 tribes of Israel in Hosea chapter 14 says this, "And I will heal the backslidden, I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from him, and I will be as a dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his fruit, his roots as Lebanon, his branches," listen to this, "his branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his male as Lebanon." So here it says that Israel, the 10 tribes, will be the branches, and they will be as olive tree. And then Paul is talking about this in Romans 11. Romans 11, Paul talks about the olive tree. Let's read it. "I say then, has Elohim cast away his people? God forbid." So here it tells us specifically that Elohim has never done away with Israel. "For I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham." When he called the name seed of Abraham, he is going back to the covenant of the pieces. "And of the tribe of Benjamin. Elohim hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Were you not what the scripture said of Elijah, how he make intercession to Elohim against Israel, saying..." And then I'm going to move on to verse 13, okay? Because I want to focus on verse cast away. I want us to go back to verse cast away. But let's go back to verse 13. I just want to show you that he has not done away with his people. Romans 11, 13 says this, "For I speak to you Gentiles." Now we have to identify who that is. Because Hosea is telling you that, see, come back to me for a minute, I want to show you something. Hosea in chapter 14 tells you that Israel will be as branches of the olive tree. But then in Romans 11, Paul is talking about the olive tree and its branches, but then he is calling the Israelites Gentiles. Why is that? Because in the Talmud tells you, as a point of reference, so you know what the ancient rabbis believe, the Talmud affirms in Yevamot 17b that the 10 tribes that are dispersed in exile are Gentiles, because they walk like the Gentiles, they act like the Gentiles, they lost all of their identity, okay, and they need to come back, okay? The Bnei Anuzim, the forced ones, the ones that were forced to convert to Catholicism back in the 1400s, 1500s, and 1600s, 1700s, and the Inquisitions, they will be considered Gentiles. Why? Because they mixed with the heathen and the idolaters of the nations. But at the due time, he will bring them back, because that's the prophecy in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Okay, so now let's go back to Romans 11. Romans 11, chapter 13 says, "For I speak to you Gentiles," or Israelites who are among the Gentiles, "inasmuch as I am apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. And if by any means I provoke to emulation them, which are my flesh, I might save some of them." Okay, let's continue. "For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world..." Let's read this verse correctly. "For if the casting away..." Now, many people in the church consider that word casting away as cutting off, getting rid of them, never asking them to come back into the covenant again. That's not what it means. And I'm going to show you that from the Greek and the Hebrew in a minute. But listen to the verse. "For if the casting of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?" He's quoting you Isaiah. So he's telling you that he will receive them back again. Now, verse 16 says, "For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches." Okay? Now, what does the word cast away there means in Greek? The Greek word in Castaway in the Romans chapter 11:15 says is apobole. The Greek word apobole means rejection, figuratively loss, casting away, loss. So it doesn't mean cut off. It means I'll reject you because you're not keeping the end of the bargain. I'm going to allow you to be lost, not cut off. Very different. Now, in the Hebrew, the Hebrew word, let's go to the Hebrew to see if the Hebrew word applies to this one. Because you see, this doesn't mean cut off. There's a distinct Hebrew word that means cut off. But this one doesn't mean that. Casting away does not mean cut off. That has been misunderstood in the churches. Okay, so let's go to the Hebrew word that is associated with the word apobole. The Hebrew word that you take from the Septuagint, okay, the Septuagint is in the Greek, but the Hebrew word, the Greek word they use for the Hebrew word they were translating into Greek is nabel. Nabel is a primitive root to means generally to fall away, fail, faint, figuratively to be foolish or moral, wicked, causatively to despise or disgrace, dishonor or disgrace, lightly esteem, fade away, do foolishly. See, it doesn't mean to cut off. Now, in the Hebrew, the word cut off is this one that you're going to see in the screen. I'm sorry. The Hebrew word for cut off is karat. Okay, it's a kuf resh tet. Kuf resh tav. It's a primitive root to cut off, down, or asunder, by implication to destroy or consume, specifically to covenant. Listen to this. To covenant, that is, make an alliance of bargain, originally by cutting flesh and passing between pieces. That is not the word that is used in Romans 11 to talk about casting away. If the Greek word that is connected with karat would have been used in Romans 11, then something is going on. So you have to understand that the word they cut off means to cut away. In other words, the cutting of the pieces, if you broke that, you'll be cut off. You die. Okay? And that's not the word that they use. So as we can see, we have a lot of misconceptions in the way that is being perceived, in the way the gospel is being taught, that the Israel is done away with, when the Bible doesn't say that anywhere. Anywhere does it say that. So which God are we serving? Which gospel are we preaching? The Bible is very clear about what we need to do. You know, I would like to leave you with a prayer. You know, the part of the Tachnun that we do. And I hope you can appreciate the prayer, because we are calling between the pieces and we want you to understand how grateful the Creator is. So the next few minutes, I like to do this prayer, okay? Incline your ear, my Adonai, and listen. Open your eyes and see our desolation, and that the city which upon which your name is proclaimed. For not because of our righteousness do we cast down our supplications before you, rather because of your abundant compassion. O my Adonai, heed. O my Adonai, forgive. O my Adonai, be attentive and act. Do not delay. For your sake, my God, for your name is proclaimed upon your city and upon your people, our Father, the merciful Father, show us an omen for good and gather in our dispersed from the four corners. For you are Yahweh, our Elohim, and now Hashem, you are Father, and we are clay, and you are a molder, and you are handiwork, are we all. Save us for your namesake, our Rock, our King, and our Redeemer. Pity your people, Yahweh. Let not your heritage be an object of scorn for nations to dominate. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their Elohim? We know that we have sinned and there is no one to stand up for us. Let your great name stand up for us in the time of distress. Yeshua stood up for us. And it says, we know that there is no worthy deeds in us. Treat us with clarity for your namesake. As a father has mercy on his children, so may you have mercy on us. O Yahweh, save us for your namesake. Have compassion on your people. Have mercy on your heritage. Have pity, we beg you, according to your abundant mercy. Be gracious with us and answer us, for yours, Yahweh, is the righteousness. He who does wonders always. Listen to this prayer. Look, we beg you and have mercy on your people speedily for your name's sake. Remember, the one who walked between the pieces? In your abundant mercy, Yahweh our Elohim, pity, have mercy upon us and save the sheep of your pasture. Let not anger dominate us, for on you do our eyes depend. Save us for your name's sake. Have mercy on us for your sake and for the sake of your covenant. And it says, look and answer in time of distress, for salvation is yours, Yahweh. Upon you is our hope, O Elohim of forgiveness. Please forgive us now, and O good and forgiving Elohim, for you are Elohim, the gracious and compassionate King. And this one says, please, O gracious and compassionate King, remember and look to the covenant between the parts. May there appear before you the binding of the only Son. For Israel's sake, our Father, our King, be gracious with us and answer us. For great is your name, has proclaimed over upon us, O maker of miracles at all times, and treat us according to your kindness, O gracious and compassionate one. And I don't have time to finish the whole thing, and I think that even ancient Judaism understands the concept of covenants. And we have the covenant maker. We proclaim Yeshua as the Messiah, who fulfilled that covenant too, so we can have eternal life. But yet, we continually break it because of traditions of men. I think we need to come back into Shuvah. We need to come back to repent and return to the ancient path. Yahweh bless you and protect you and guide you. We'll see you next time. I hope you enjoy this teaching. Shalom Aleichem. Hello, thank you for joining me, and it's a pleasure to be a teacher here at GLC. And I personally want to thank Al and Tommy Cooper for the opportunity to give us a chance to teach Torah and to bring the Hebrew roots into your homes. If you want to get in touch with me, you can go to my website, www.wisdomintorah.com. Or if you'd like to email me, you can email me at wisdomintorah@yahoo.com. Also, some of the other information will be there for you to enjoy, and PowerPoints and other things further for you. Yahweh bless you and keep you. And remember, everything that I teach, everything that I share with you is in my heart, so we can grow together, so we can learn together, so we can become spiritually mature for the coming of our Messiah. All I ask is that when you read something that I say, go back and verify everything I say. Do not believe anything that I said. Owe it to yourselves to only praise Him, to give Him the honor and the glory, because we are all servants of the Most High Elohim, Yahweh Tzevaot. Yahweh bless you and keep you.